Hello, and welcome to Voices in Healthcare Finance. I'm Erica Grotto. Today, we're taking a break from our usual format to bring you a discussion on the recent midterm elections and how the results might affect the healthcare industry. Rich Daly has that right after this.
Wouldn't it be great to provide your staff with unlimited access to HFMA's library of online education? How about HFMA's accredited certification programs, market-leading white papers, in-depth research reports, and more? Introducing Enterprise Solutions, a group membership program designed to provide your organization's employees with cost-effective tools and resources that increase staff engagement and optimize organizational results. Get your organization engaged with Enterprise. For more information and to watch an introductory video, visit hfma.org/enterprise.
Hello, this is Rich Daly, Senior Writer and Editor for HFMA. Joining me today on the Voices in Healthcare Finance podcast is Rick Gunling, Senior Vice President of HFMA. He will give us some insight on the healthcare finance impacts from the recent election. Thank you very much for joining us today on the Voices in Healthcare Finance podcast, Rick.
Thank you very much. Really glad to be here with you, Rich.
So we just had the midterm elections. Now what?
Well, you know, I think the surprising thing about the midterms election is it really wasn't that surprising. I mean, you know, in the last few years, we've had these big shockwaves through our elections. And, you know, this midterm was really as predicted. You know, I think, you know, the Democratic success in the midterm election likely means that the Republican lawmakers are not going to undertake a second attempt in the next 2 years to try to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, at least through legislation. But I foresee the president and the administration likely is going to continue to use regulatory agencies to transform Medicaid, maybe roll back industry regulations. You know, they are already addressing some drug pricing, streamline reviews of medical products. I think all these changes can be done without congressional input. And, you know, their efforts may be slowed by Democratic lawmakers taking control of the House and its key committees and have that oversight power. But I think a lot of the approaches are going to continue.
I see. And do you foresee any new approaches to the healthcare industry as a result?
Well, you know, after it's been pretty clear over the last 2 years, you know, I think there's been a lot of activity at the federal level without a lot of action. I think providers and health plans can expect more state lawmakers and regulators taking action. You know, I think providers, especially in states that embrace the administrative policies, are going to expect the number of uninsured and underinsured probably to increase modestly. Providers can also expect the administration to continue to embrace value-based care models, including the mandatory ones, and that's something interesting under HHS Secretary Azar is that he fully backs the mandatory value-based payment models. You know, I think with the approach, I think, you know, that U.S. Americans have gotten accustomed to the Affordable Care Act, especially the protections around pre-existing condition. That was a big issue during the midterm elections. I think the Democrats' victory in the House is, you know, it's going to signal, you know, a slight expansion of benefits facilitated by the federal government, and maybe a little bit a push away from a deregulated approach, which consumers have, you know, had more in their health coverage choices, but fewer protections. So I think that's going to be an interesting kind of push and pull with the administration and the House. I think over the next 2 years, healthcare companies are going to likely see some higher premiums placed on transparency, you know, which is going to extend beyond prices for goods and services to also new coverage practices. The political changes in D.C. are going to give the Democrats more influence over the health policy agenda. But I think, you know, the fundamental business issues are going to remain, you know, that's to slow rising costs, create a better consumer experience and implement new technologies. Those are kind of perennial industry issues, and I think that that is going to continue.
Okay. On the issue of drug pricing specifically, there's been a lot of attention and movement from the administration on this. So where do you see this headed?
Well, you know, that's actually something interesting that's likely going to have bipartisan support. I think the Democrats have long signaled that they consider pharmaceutical pricing to be one of their highest priorities. And so I think that is going to continue. You know, there's going to be maybe different approaches to how that the drug manufacturers are going to be addressed. I think we're going to see maybe some investigations Oversight and Investigations Chair Elijah Cummings, Democrat from Maryland. He's probably going to take a more aggressive tact in investigating manufacturers and other sector stakeholders for some of their pricing increases. You know, I think it sometimes gets a lot of play. I think that's a lot of the constituents are very concerned about that. And then I think that the pricing is not going to be just for drugs. I mean, I think it's going to be all the areas of healthcare, both in hospital and physician, and lots of focus on transparency.
I see. Okay. And then in terms of Congress, some of its recent action has been focused on the issue of surprise healthcare bills. Do you see this as an activity area that will be continuing?
Absolutely. That is another area of bipartisan support. We've already actually seen some bipartisan proposals come through the Senate. And, you know, I think that is going to continue. I think we will see some action on that. I think the Healthcare Financial Management Association, along with AHA and the America's Health Insurance Plans, has put out some recent guidance on a consumer guide to help patients and consumers avoid a surprise bill. And I think that is a good resource for all providers and health plans to share. And as a consumer ourselves, to use as well. But I think the surprise bill issue is definitely something that is going to continue to get attention, and consumers are definitely concerned about that, and that makes their lawmakers concerned about that.
All right. And lastly, there's a wide range of other issues, but could you tell us a little bit about what you see happening within the Medicaid eligibility expansion?
Well, you know, that's, you know, with the increase in the number of governors, Democratic governors from the midterm election, I think we'll see the expansions continue. So states that had not expanded, we're going to see that as well. I think Nebraska, Idaho, Utah had their voters endorse it from public referendums. And so I think the only notable one was the voters in Montana rejected a proposal to continue funding the Medicaid expansion, you know, that they enacted for temporarily using the state's tobacco tax. But I think that they will look at other funding mechanisms. And as far as the Democratic gubernatorial wins, Maine, Kansas, and Wisconsin is going to make Medicaid expansion more likely in those states. So I think that the steady increase in the number of states embracing Medicare expansion is going to continue, particularly after the midterms.
Voices in Healthcare Finance is produced by the Healthcare Financial Management Association and hosted by Erica Grotto. Today's reporting was provided by Rich Daly. Sound editing is by Brian Kuhn. HFMA's president and CEO is Joe Pfeiffer. Please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And don't forget to tell a friend or colleague if you like what you're hearing. If you're a healthcare provider with a story to share, or if you'd just like to get in touch with us, you can email us at podcast@hfma.org.